I want to take you also to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And while you're on your way to Hebrews chapter 10, I want to read to you something that was given to me this morning. It says, China's market crash a couple of months ago will likely prove to be the most significant event in recent years. It was worse than the U.S. crash of 1929 and was devastating to hundreds of millions of Chinese. This is major, and it will have worldwide consequences. Now, I didn't express anything on this because I haven't studied it. I'm not looking to study it. What I am saying is there was a prophetic word given to our Congress through a gentleman who received a lot of information about our nation, and he happens to be a Jewish believer. And Jonathan Kahn was again on Trinity this past week. And I will remind you, the God that we serve does not serve just the United States. Okay? And if you know anything about the politics of today, there's been a lot of exposure at this time about how the Chinese were playing tricks with America. Anybody hear that? All right. To me, I could be wrong, but in my understanding of what happened, there was a major wealth transfer in 1929. And there's a major wealth transfer in China. God will not be mocked. This nation is a Christian nation, even though we're advertising sometimes that we're buy this and buy that, and we're not. Our foundation is in Christ alone. Amen. And in the 1700s, there was one song in New England, "We have no king but Jesus." So our revolution was caused by a revival in the United States at that time. It hasn't changed. So now I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to kind of just give you a little bit of awareness that, you know, when Jesus was released into the earth, he had a purpose. And his purpose was not in dual coordinates. It was singular from beginning to end, to finish the job the Father had given to him. Now, I want you to go to verse 25, which I kind of quoted earlier when we were talking at the beginning. It says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." What day is he talking about? As we see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? Anybody got a clue? It's the day of the Lord. The seventh day is around the corner. He created the world in six, and on the seventh day he what? That's an example. It's an example to the church that is to say, we have been commissioned by God to take a rest from our own ideas. Thank you, Lord. Right or wrong? Great. How many knows that when you go on a big quest of what you believe is right, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes up from within you by his Spirit and says, you're heading in the wrong direction. Can anybody connect? Why is it important that the change happens inside of you by his Spirit to coordinate something he's building? He's building you to be dependent on your Father. Adam was created to be dependent on? Eve or his father? Really? The minute he began to evaluate what Eve said, he got hungry for what? The wrong tree.
That was very true.
He looked at her. She was the best thing that ever happened to him. And we still have a problem with that, don't we? All right. What I'm getting at is this. Don't give up meeting together, because when you are meeting together, you reform the pillar of fire. I didn't know you had received a vision, but I saw it happening as we were in that circle. Why? Because we are joined. We become one. Why? Because the Lord told us to do this for his own purpose, not for what you think or I think. It's what he has in mind. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, let's back up. Verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never be the same sacrifice, repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshiper would have been cleansed once and for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. The Amplified goes deeper, doesn't it? The Amplified pushes a little bit further, and it's very important, so you can also look up at verse 14. So let's go to verse 14 right now. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Who's he talking about?
Us?
Yeah, us. And some of us are trying to perfect ourselves. See, being made holy is something that's a byproduct of you and I recognizing that we are already perfect. We're already righteous. We just don't feel it and don't accept it. We push it away because we reason it away by our behavior. Do you ever see yourself do something totally stupid? Well, lies are acceptable for a while. But when you do it, you have to go back to Romans 7, because here's St. Paul, an apostle to every Gentile in the world. That includes you and I. And he said, the very thing I want to do, I can't. The very thing I hate doing, I end up doing. But then Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. When you're in Christ, you're connected. So you've also been perfected. That's what the scripture says. Amen? Look at 14 again. Because by one sacrifice he had made perfect forever, who? Those who are being made holy. Are you and I being made holy?
Yes.
It's settled. Why argue with the fact? Why go with the lie? Because we like to reason things out. Well, if I had behaved well last week, God would have healed me this week. That's one that is so popular in the demonic attack. And it is so believable because you look at behavior instead of what Jesus has done. When you and I look at behavior, we see a neighbor and we say, oh, no darn wonder they're having a hard time. Look at their behavior.
Their unbelief, however, we don't even see it because we're stuck with the same unbelief. Do I believe that I have been made perfect? Do I believe it? Do I have free will to choose? Can I choose to believe that I've been made perfect? For part time or forever? Really? Convince me.
I am made perfect forever.
That's a good start. When you confess it with your mouth, believe it with your heart, what's going to happen? Ha ha ha! Are you born again?
Yes.
Why is that not hard to believe? Because you've confessed it enough times to erase the lie.
Amen.
So how many times are you going to have to confess that you've been made perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ and by his holy sacrifice, that you don't have to sacrifice yourself daily?
Whoa.
And as a byproduct, when you are truly, truly aware that you are perfect and being made holy, healing will not be a problem. It'll be a victory.
Amen.
Really? Now you can say amen, but how many of you still got aches and pains?
Amen.
All right. So if you're focused on the ache and the pain, you become a pain. Because your father looks at you and he says, oh my God, she's confessing she's perfect. She doesn't even believe that I erased the guilt. Did he erase the guilt?
Amen.
Amen.
Did he make you and me perfect?
Yes.
Is he working on making us holy?
Yes.
The most difficult part of you and me becoming holy is to confess that it's happening. It's not something that's going to be happening to you when you go to heaven. Oh boy, that one did not hit anything soft. It hit a brick wall. You see, our belief is that when we go to heaven, we're going to be holy. But the Lord says, I'm bringing holiness into the
earth.
Which earth is he going to hit first?
Earth.
Yeah. Ooh, we're going somewhere here. Put your hand on your heart, close your eyes. Say,
my heart
has to believe God's word.
Instead of my head
controlling my future,
let the Holy Spirit
burn the lies away.
Yes, I've been made perfect.
Jesus did that one sacrifice.
Once and forever.
He erased all my sin. Past, present, and future. It's no longer a problem.
It's already been dealt with.
So I'm confessing now.
I am perfect.
And being made holy.
Because he started a good work.
And guess what?
He's not a quitter.
So my mouth has to catch up.
With what God says about me.
Not what my reasoning says.
About my behavior.
How many felt some stirring going on when you were confessing that? If you felt some stirring, lift your hand up. Why? Is unbelief that strong in us that we believe the lie because it's more comfortable? Why do we believe the lie that is so comfortable? Most of us, because we're still stuck in religion. We're still performing to be accepted. And I'm not telling you something I'm not going through myself. I am still in the process. Why? I can remember when Rick was 10, 11 months old. He was a talking machine, all in French, of course. Rick did not speak English until he was 2 and a half.
every question, every time he had some, pourquoi? Why? Pourquoi? Why? Comment ça? How come? Everything was a question. He was the nosiest kid you could find. We loved every minute of it. And I'll tell you, sometimes he wasn't satisfied with just a little answer. You know how you can plug the hole sometimes and you can just, you know, because you're dealing with a baby, okay? But he wasn't a baby. He was all grown up at two. And he needed all the answers. Irene and I babysat the other night because Chris had an appointment and a meeting to go to. So she is going to make sure that Faith gets a bath. And so she's with her, and we're doing this in a place at the counter. And she's, you know, kind of washing herself up and so on and so forth, and Irene is supervising. So she said, Faith, are you done? Can we finish? Are you done? So she turns around. She's expecting a no or, you know, a yes. Guess what she responds? Almost. Almost. Tell me if that's not reasoning. She's got something up her sleeve, got a little more to go here, and she doesn't want great-grandmother to pull her out of that water just yet. So she satisfied the whole package by almost. We are almost believing. But our reasoning steals, robs, and destroys the truth from affecting our healing. So what's the beginning of that change that needs to come? We need to confess that we have been made perfect by the sacrifice he did. That's what the word says. I could go on and on for another hour telling you all this, but you know what? It would be just a waste of my energy. Because the only one that can convince you of that truth and make it real to you is the same Holy Ghost who brought you to being born again. You started by confessing it, and when you believed it in your heart, it became a reality.
Amen.
Okay, one more time, close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
This commission. Of my being perfect. Having been made perfect forever. Because of the sacrifice that you did. You gave up your body. With all of its purity. And you took on all my sin. All my infirmities. Psalm 103 guarantees it. By your stripes, you made me whole. I've got to start believing it. And the only one that can convince me is your Holy Spirit. You are the Spirit of truth.
Holy Spirit,
nag me.
Push me.
Get me to where I can receive
the real truth.
That I'm being made holy. But I was made perfect forever. By that one sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus.